Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Nate Klarfeld from Fort Lauderdale. This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have Matthew Sidney, an indie singer-songwriter who started singing in open mics in 2005, and by 2009 he was headlining his own shows at coffee houses and clubs. Not one to simply strum away on his guitar, Sidney engages his audience through storytelling, conversation, and the occasional use of props and costumes. We are going to talk about the props and costumes. Here is Matthew Sidney. Hello.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Lovely evening. I want the listeners to know that MatthewSidney.com has some great, great previews of Matthew's songs and his works and his music. And he has a lovely, lovely voice and a great balladeer. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Nate, for inviting me. I'm very grateful.
If you've read our little bio that's in front of you, Matthew is also a Blog Talk Radio host with an indie music flair. But we'll talk about that later. Matthew, when did you get started in music?
I primarily consider myself a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and I started writing songs really when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and I have no formal training. As far as instrumentation, I play guitar. I'm completely self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm in the throes of studying piano,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of sing the way I grew up singing. I do come from a family that loves music. So
mm-hmm.
my father plays guitar. All my brothers play instruments. I used to sing with my mom all the time as a kid.
Uh-huh. You have a great voice. I can't believe you're not formally trained. What would you say influences your music? Because it's got a definite vibe. You gave me a bunch of names, you know, Elton John, The Beatles, Lady Gaga, that influence you. But I don't hear them in your music. Who's really your hero? Who's your music hero?
Who's my music hero? Wow.
I'm good at this.
There's so many.
Well, go
There's
ahead.
So many. Recently I've been delving back into one particular composer, Pete Townsend of
uh-huh.
The Who.
Right. Oh.
Is a huge idol
uh-huh.
for me. I admire his work. I mean, of course, he's an amazing guitarist. And as a songwriter and as an artist,
mm-hmm.
I feel he's magnificent. I'm a huge fan of Tommy. I mean,
oh,
my parents used to listen to that. I grew up with that. And
yeah.
it's amazing. It's great rock and roll, and it's passionate, and it also has this powerful spiritual message to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I guess Pete Townsend would be a good example of who my idols are. He's definitely an inspiration.
And Tommy was I'm probably closer to your parents' age. We won't talk about that though. But that was groundbreaking at the time, that there was a rock opera of a pop singer. You know, that whole movement, the creativity, the depth, everything was just absolutely amazing. Good choice. Okay, what's with the spades in the middle of your name on your logo? Okay, I'm going to hear all these questions. That was from the chat room, by the way. That was from the chat room. I've got a full chat room here now.
What is with the spade? The artwork for this album and the theme in many of my songs, there are often references to card games and poker,
uh-huh.
And by extension, maybe a little bit to the Wild West.
Uh-huh.
You know, playing cards are important symbols
uh-huh.
in our culture, and of course, our playing cards are, you know, they've been used to teach the gospel, and they've been used to tell the future.
Right.
For me, the imagery of the poker game and the playing cards has to do with Well, this cycle of songs is basically about being a player. It's about looking for love and looking for answers in all the wrong places and kind of figuring that out, going, walking through that forest and making it out to the other side. These cycle of songs all kind of came about at a particular period in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very different from the stuff that I used to write before.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge body of previous work that's mm-hmm. not so personal,
mm-hmm.
but at the same token, not so well received. You know,
it's, really?
I've recorded these songs because each one of these songs, someone told me it meant a lot to them.
Really?
That particular number.
Good,
but
good.
The spade has to do with the playing cards and playing the game.
And
the theme of the title track is, are you going to keep playing the game? Are you going to keep,
right.
checking Grindr while you're on a date? Or
yeah,
are you going to look
yeah.
at what's sitting right in front of you?
Right, right. That is great. You know, Adele wrote, I guess, 21 after she broke up with her boyfriend, and so all the songs are kind of like this, revenge and, get you and stuff like that. What was your motivation for this latest album? What was your big theme in your life going on between your ears while you're writing?
And you're talking about this particular album still?
Yes, the new one, yeah.
Actually, for this album, it's really simple. I was heartbroken, and for the first time in my life, I started writing music about it. I was more social commentary, that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
until I started writing these songs. That was back in 2009, and this was the first time I really started being willing to bleed on vinyl, as they say.
Uh-huh.
They all kind of go together. I think they tell a story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do. So you and Adele have something in common, big time.
What is that?
Well, she wrote 21. All the songs from 21 were from the breakup.
Mm.
So it's kind of like she had those were heartbroken songs, so she was writing on vinyl, bleeding on vinyl too. Together with
you. It must be something in the air. And the interesting thing, Nate, is I already have all the material written for my next project.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and the theme is very different, still very personal, but it's about personal empowerment, and it's about coming into one's own and taking control of
uh-huh.
one's life and receiving one's power and really living it. And different themes, and people that see me live, they get to hear the new songs.
Uh-huh.
It's a new cycle of songs. They've been around for at least a year now, so it's
okay.
always nice to be able to mix it up.
And let me go ahead and do a little plug here. First of all, you can get Matthew's music and information about him on MatthewSydney.com, MatthewSydney.com. Also, where are you appearing next live? Can you give us a little treat here?
I am hoping to be back at Propaganda soon.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a date set yet. I was there last month. It was a great. I celebrated Easter there,
oh, wow.
and that was a great treat. So my next show will probably be there. Please definitely keep up with me on Facebook. Of course, follow me on Twitter, or just go to my website, MatthewSydney.com.
Yeah.
And I'll be posting that as soon as it comes up.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about all these. You just mentioned Twitter and blog and MatthewSydney.com and other things. You and I are both in social media. You also have a blog talk radio show. How is that going to shake out? What do you think is going to happen here in the next 5 years as far as music and publishing and everything else? Give me your view on that.
Wow. Things have changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who are artists and those of us who aspire to be in the industry and those of us who are already established in the industry
mm-hmm.
Have to ride the tide and
right.
be flexible and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time of great change, and things are totally different. We're empowered now more than we've ever been before. It is so the technology has made it easy for every artist who's dedicated to record. Whereas it wasn't long ago, the only people who really got to record were people who were selected.
Correct, exactly.
And there's this incredible, there's so much music out there of so many artists to choose from.
Yes.
And I'm excited about that. That's why I do my show, but it's a different world than it used to be. And people are accustomed to downloading music.
Right.
People are accustomed to getting music for free.
Yeah.
So everyone from the record companies to the artists needs to acknowledge that this is the world that we're living in and adapt to it. Because if we're really artists and it's about the art,
the message
is going to take shape in whatever, however you're going to convey it, whether it be digital or whether it be vinyl, or whether it be via a braille tattoo. The art has got to come into being because it's part of our collective expression.
Correct. Exactly. And there's a democratization that you were talking about, that there isn't some backroom guy making a decision with a cigar saying, I like the kid, and let's put him on, get my contract, because that doesn't exist in books. It's not even existing in film anymore. People are, the technology of making the film, the technology of making a book, the technology of making music, all is very much in the hands of the people right now. Layers and layers of middlemen are gone, somewhat for good and somewhat not so good. And one of the things I worry about, and I do like the democratization, I do like the fact that you have a lot of choices and you have to really, really work at it to find someone you like. I'm worried about the editing. I think there's going to be a lot of people that think they're artists who are going to be putting money into this who really aren't going to make it. And I feel bad for them, but I think it's just part of the deal right now. You're going to see books.
Well, here's something I've noticed. I love to read. I'm a bookworm.
Uh-huh.
And never in my life have I seen so many typos in published work.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. It drives me crazy.
I see things out that I never would have seen when I was a kid reading.
Right.
And,
right.
I forget who I was talking to, but I was just talking about this. What strikes me is how many engaged, talented artists out there. I mean, for example, every independent artist whom I've had on my show, I feel has been right up there with the most well-screened and well Hollywood-groomed million-dollar artist that there is. Project 1804, whom I interviewed last night, their arrangements are professional and slick, and they have a deep message. So, is it easy for artists who aren't so professional and polished to record? Yes. But it's an opportunity for everyone to learn from each other and to grow.
Right. And I think the difference between music and books, because I do music books, I do DJs, if we do filmmakers, I do all sorts of huge gamut. The book thing is you really do make a decision to buy a book by looking at the cover and a blurb. Whereas when you listen to music, you do listen to an entire song or part of a song. You heard a song on a radio or somebody gave you a track. So you do have a chance. So I think the musicians, the independent musicians, the self-publishing musicians, whatever you want to call them, do have to be more polished than the author. I think the independent author, the new authors we're seeing and some of the old ones even, just really have to sell themselves on a superficial level. And then you find the typos and the mistakes and the weird editing or lack of editing that some of the because it's really difficult to find someone to edit outside of the editing business
it was interesting for me to recognize David Bowie, right?
Sure.
Okay. When I was a kid, I studied a lot of his music. He was another here's another idol of mine that I don't think I've listed yet, David Bowie, huge inspiration to me.
Huge inspiration in my life. huge
effect
on Spike.
Yeah, the man who, I love it, especially his early work, The Man Who Sold the World,
right.
Ziggy Stardust, of course, and Space Oddity. I was, back in the day, when I was a kid, I was collecting his albums, and when they were releasing them on CD, each album would come with bonus tracks. And oftentimes they would be demos of his songs. So I've heard, and of other artists too, that they used to do this a lot. And when you hear the demos of some of these great artists, they sound like shit. And just totally raw, totally unedited. And that's educational for me to hear, a song that everyone absolutely loves, that's a huge, iconic part of our culture, and to hear where it came from originally in its original version, kind of shows me, oh, wow, this is how you take that diamond in a rough and polish it up. Wow, So, I think those of us, to me, it kind of showed me the stages along the way. And to be honest, helped give me the courage to do what I'm doing now.
Great, great. Yeah, I really, he had a big effect on my early life. I would never, of course, I had a huge crush on him, too. That didn't hurt, right? God, is he hot? He is hot. He still is hot. Anyway, let's talk about the message here in your music. I'm reading your website, by the way, MatthewSidney.com, has a lot of lyrics on the click that says free music, which we talked about earlier. And you do speak about a woman in there, and I don't know if that's a reason, a man, woman. You have a lot of sexuality in the things. I can read some of them. I was trying to sleep it off when you called me saying, babe, I need to get off. I called you back, but you went around. Say you want me when you're chasing dick downtown. Got a warning for you. Kind of twisted but true. Don't be chasing clouds when the sky is blue. I love that. I've been like quoting that all day. I haven't written
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
It's like so funny because many of you know I live in Fort Lauderdale, which is a very big touristy gay town. I live right on the beach, not too far from 33 gay guest houses. So you can imagine the playing and the stuff that goes on here. A lot of people here date and look over their shoulder to see if they can find a better one coming down the pike. Just being honest and brutal. I've been married to a lovely guy for 10 years. But I do see what you're saying. And by the way, this is not your generation only. This is everybody. Really is.
Well, and to be frank, it's really the straight world too.
Oh yeah.
There's a long tradition because there's a lot of amazing gay songwriters,
right.
And there have been for a very long time.
Exactly.
And there's so many gay men who've been forced to write love songs about women or to make it fit. A straight milieu.
Right.
And since through no fault of my own, I had been outed long before I even thought about becoming a professional musician. It was like, well, why bother? It's not I'm already out. Everything's already out.
Correct.
So, that song, that's one of those songs that was just, of course, it's based on real life.
Of course.
But it's all of us. How many of us have been,
John Edwards is having a big trouble file here. It's straight people are doing this all the time. We're not unique in this at all. Open the paper and look down the street. That's another thing. Okay, let's switch a little bit. What's on your iPod right now?
What is on my iPod right now? All right, let's see. Well, right now it happens to be playing Black Eyed Peas.
Mm-hmm. Great. Love them.
But I've been also listening to a lot of Jefferson Starship.
Oh, okay.
I've revisited an old hit of theirs, Miracles. I just love the arrangements. It's got a great syncopated rhythm, beautiful guitar work. The harmonies are really cool, and having not heard it in a long time, I'm listening to it with a different ear and kind of like picking apart the different pieces. And now that I've had the experience of working in a studio and arranging different instruments on my own work, I'm able to listen to the greats a different way and, you know, kind of further my education that way.
Cool. Let me just give a plug for the Stonewall National Museum and Archives. You brought up a very interesting point. On June 1st, the Stonewall Museum at 1300 East Sunrise Boulevard is premiering a major exhibit called Classical Music, As Gay as It Can Be. It's a history of the classical musicians in opera and in orchestra that have been gay. So, yes, it's been a long, long history. And we have had a couple of people working on this for about a year. And we like to do different types of exhibits there, so you were right. There's always been gay musicians, and here's one. All right, so I have a couple more 100,000 questions.
Okay.
You know how the Food Network has made a lot of people want to go into being chefs, okay?
Yeah.
There is a secondary wave I have just heard from my friends in the music and college world that Glee has started an entire new young generation of people who want to become singers.
Good.
I had no idea. Are you a Greek?
I am not.
Oh, you are not. Okay.
I am not. Okay. Most of my friends are, though.
Okay. Well, that's very important. Greek or not Greek? That's like an iPad question.
I have a Greek question. Good. I'm glad. You know, I want our young people to sing more than ever before. You know, I need more backup singers. I need more harmony singers.
Right.
So
exactly. You need everything. And of course, those people just know how to lip sync. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I need some great kids who can harmonize.
That's right. And they're not hard to look at either. I'm sorry, that's another bad thing. Okay, what musician dead would you like to have lunch with?
What dead musician would I like to
have lunch with?
Have lunch with.
And why? Yeah, I think these up. I'm up all night thinking these up.
Wow.
I'm glad it made you laugh.
You know, John Lennon.
My favorite. You're exactly right. That's exactly what I picked. And you know what? I've had that answer many times when I speak to musicians or DJs or things like that. Again, you know, for the same reasons that you mentioned, Townsend and Bowie. You know, broad brushstrokes, lots of great works, huge body of work. Was all over the place, you know, with his books. I love it. Yeah, a great one. That's a great one. Of course, the other one I want is Elvis.
Hmm.
I want to have lunch
with
Elvis.
Well, I mean, he's just dripping. You know, his voice drips with hotness.
I know exactly, and I like peanut butter and jelly and banana fried sandwiches. I have been doing the VIP tour to Graceland, by the way. I'm admitting it, so it's okay. I think it's my age type thing. Okay, young people getting into it. I know you're young, but you've had a huge history and a great body of work at a young age. What would you say if a young kid came up to you after a show and said, I want to be just like you. What do I do?
Well, if they came up to me and said, I want to be just like you, I would... To that, I would have to say, you don't want to do that.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
If they want to say, you know, if they're inspired by what I'm doing and they're saying, hey, you know, how do I do this? I would say you have to follow your heart. Don't let anything stop you. I mean,
right.
I've had my share of discouragement, definitely. Uh-huh. Along the way, and you know, you just gotta do it no matter what. Don't sit around waiting for permission. You know, I don't believe in sitting around and waiting to be discovered.
Exactly, good. And you know, singers that don't follow their heart, you can hear it in their music. I believe you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can just hear it's kind of like, nah. It doesn't have any depth. It doesn't have any heart. Well, heart, that's a good word, but you just don't want to listen to it again. I mean, it's just kind of one time and that's it. Justin Bieber. No, it's okay. Who does your album covers are absolutely amazing. You have beautiful eyes, and you're a very handsome young man. And who does your cover art? Give him a plug. Come on.
Steve Shires did the photography. all the photography on my album, and I did all of the layout and design myself.
Yeah, I've known Steve for a decade. He used to be his neighbor. Is that crazy?
It's a small world.
I know.
Well, you know, but really, Nate, I have to tell you, what has been amazing for me to do this project is that, you know, it's not about me. It's really a community effort. This is the product of numerous people within our community working together. I mean, I wrote these songs and I sing them.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of working with amazing instrumentalists. Mike Chaos of Saturn Sound Studios is an incredible producer, incredibly intuitive. He knew how to give me just what I wanted. The thing is with this album, every song came out just the way I envisioned it when I wrote it. And the album came out exactly the way I envisioned it. There was no
amazing
compromise. And it's not perfect. And are there things I'm going to do differently next time? Yes. But whatever flaws there, they were my choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had to cave into, you know, anyone else at any stage. Everything is
great.
What I wanted, but I worked with amazing people who were able to contribute their own essence and their own talent to the project.
Yeah.
Felicia Rose, incredible artist, an incredible singer to work with.
Right, she's your collaborator on this song, I think.
Yeah, she sings with me on several songs, especially Touch Me Like That, which is one of my personal favorites on the album. And I love it when we get to when we're in both in town at the same time. Sometimes we're able to perform a gig together, and it's always magical. You know, when that musical chemistry is there, it's amazing.
So tell me what's up next for Matthew. What's your next album going to be called, or can you give us any secrets, or are you going to leave us
tentatively, the next project will be called Texas Hold Me.
Whoa.
Texas Hold Me is the title track. That's a song I wrote. Actually, it's been a year or two ago now that I wrote that song, and it's a little bit more spunk. And some ways, a little bit more. Some of the pieces are going to be maybe a little bit more country, but then some of the pieces are definitely going to be even more pop oriented.
Okay.
But yeah, Texas Hold Me is the title track, and
great.
That's actually been one of the staples of my live shows. So
Great. It sounds great. I love it. I love the whole idea of getting country down here in Florida. As you know, the farther south you go in Florida, the farther north, you are. We have 90 seconds left. Do you believe this is the fastest 30 minutes of your life? So let's get back to the nuts and bolts of all of this. MatthewSydney.com, MatthewSydney.com. You can find out where Matthew's performing live. You can also get his music on Facebook, same name. Is that right? It's Matthew. Are you Matthew Sydney?
Yeah,
just
Matthew
just like
Sydney.
That?
And I encourage everyone to come to my site. I do keep a blog.
Okay.
Where
a blog.
I like to.
Okay. And the blog is a click on MatthewSydney.com. I want everyone to know. You don't have to go to a separate place to find the blog.
It's all just go to my homepage, and from there you can access my blog, you can access my radio show, and it's all about independent music. It's not all about my music. I really love sharing great independent music.
Yes,
with
I love it. Yeah,
so if you're looking for something new, definitely come by and visit.
Okay, great. Listen, we have like 20 seconds. I'm just going to turn up the music here.
Okay.
Thank my listeners, and thank you for being wonderful tonight. I love this interview. It was great. Listen, Matthew, good night, and thanks again.
Thank you, Nate. I had an amazing time. You have a good night, too.
You too. Good night.